The border needs an aid package. That's about where agreement in Washington ends. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The House and the Senate agree they want to send aid to the U.S.-Mexico border, where temporary shelters are overwhelmed. But they differ on the details. Two competing bills will have to be reconciled before any money goes out the door. But the current debate is about triage. It's about emergency funding. There is a longer-term approach to limiting immigration surges, according to a new report. Send aid abroad. Improve economic conditions abroad. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports.
To see this principle in action, look to Mexico.
Migration from Mexico has dropped dramatically, and that's a direct result of the improvement of economic conditions.
Monica DeBolla at the Peterson Institute for International Economics says a country's economics, even more than its crime rate, indicates whether people will attempt the uncertain journey to the U.S.
These people don't leave because they want to. They leave because they have to.
A report from the Peterson Institute this month finds Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador, where U.S. migration has surged, have half or less the per capita GDP of Mexico. It says international aid could help. Michael Clements at the Center for Global Development says there's a faster way to juice those countries' economies. Paradoxically, it's to allow a freer flow of people and goods.
There's no Marshall Plan for Central America that's going to transform those economies with aid, but greater market links would be successful.
But he says even in a best-case scenario, it'll likely be more than a decade before these countries have strong enough economies that migration slows. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
The past few decades, presidents have avoided criticizing America's central bankers at the Federal Reserve. President Trump has broken that pattern for months, and he's gotten especially aggressive, even mocking, this week. He's complained again that Fed Chair Jay Powell hasn't been lowering interest rates, and he said Powell is, quote, trying to prove how tough he is by not cutting sooner. In its own way, the Fed has responded. Powell emphasized the importance of keeping Fed policy independent from politics in a speech Tuesday. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Federal Reserve members seem to be making a lot of public appearances this summer. I mean, it's usually kind of quiet this time of year. Do you think they are responding to the president in some way?
In many ways, they're responding to the president. One, because the president's actions have resulted in weaker growth, and they're now preparing to cut rates over the summer in order to sort of act as an insurance policy against a recession down the road. That reaction and delineating between the Fed reacting to the president's actions, not as bullying, is a hard line for people to understand. And I think also part of the reason you're seeing so many of them talk is they're talking about why they're doing what they're doing.
Why is it so important? Why is it so important for the Fed to explain that it is lowering rates because it thinks it needs to and not because the president has told it to?
The Fed's credibility in saying what it's going to do and then act on it is one of its most powerful tools. And the more the president chips away at that credibility that the Fed can do what it says it's going to do when it needs to do it, means that it won't have those tools later on. And one of the things I worry most about is that undermining that credibility means when we need the Fed most and the economy actually slips into a recession, they won't have all the tools that they need to counter it. So it's really short-sighted for the administration to go after the Fed in this manner.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Part of being a responsible news organization, especially one that covers business and the economy, is fiscal responsibility. Marketplace's budget year ends on June 30th, and we're closing in on our goal of 2,500 donors for this drive. But we still need to hear from you. Become a Marketplace investor for as little as $5 and keep trustworthy, independent news going strong. Contribute today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
Ahead of the G20 meeting this weekend, German manufacturers are making it clear they are pretty nervous about trade. They are worried in particular that President Trump could make good on his threat to impose 25% tariffs on vehicles imported from the EU. The BBC's Berlin correspondent Jenny Hill reports from the German forklift maker Cayenne.
On the production line, a worker nods to the beat as he deftly rivets wheel nuts into place. In front of him, a forklift truck is taking shape. As China and America battle for economic supremacy, this German multinational manufacturer is already paying the price in tariffs. Kion's chief executive, Gordon Riske, says Donald Trump's trade wars are damaging Europe.
Less people investing means less jobs and less growth in the economies, and that's bad for everyone.
Germany's motoring success infuriates Donald Trump. So does the country's export surplus. A trade deal between the EU and America might help, but talks aren't going well. The threat of crippling US tariffs on German cars, enough to keep manufacturers awake at night. Peter Bayer, the German government's transatlantic coordinator, describes it as the politics of pressure.
This will not work with the European Union because we will play by the WTO rules and there will be retaliation measures, so he should not be fooled. We will stand strong.
Germany's built a brand around reliability. In the factory, every forklift is custom-made to order.
It takes just over 3.5 hours to put one of these together from start to finish. It's a process which depends on order, predictability, qualities which are valued by German business, but which they'll tell you here are increasingly hard to find outside in the global marketplace.
A country which built its success on exports, jostling now for position in a new and volatile world order. In Frankfurt, I'm the BBC's Jenny Hill for Marketplace.
Ford says it's going to close factories and cut jobs in Europe. It said it would lay off workers and shorten shifts to eliminate 12,000 jobs. That's 20% of its European workforce. Ford is overhauling its European business where margins have been weak and prioritizing electric vehicles and autonomous driving. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.